6:36 committee time. At this time, we'll bring up, let me recognize we have Representative Capsner, Representative Wilson, Representative Elkin sitting there, and Representative Thomas, chair here. This time, we'll bring up HB 198, and that's the only bill we'll be hearing today, and hopefully we don't lose our quorum so we can move the bill if it's not amended. The idea is if they want to amend it, then we probably have to sit on because people will be leaving. So at this time, we'll turn it over to the sponsor of the bill and make his presentation, state your name, and for the record.
For the record, Josh Govar, staff to Representative Elkins. House Bill 198 amends the state's Aquatic Farming Act to allow aquatic farms to continue to operate in compliance with the recent Supreme Court decision. In mid-April, the state Supreme Court ruled that the act requires the Department of Fish and Game to deny shellfish farmers exclusive rights to significant populations of wild goey ducks on the proposed farm sites. Since then, the Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fishery Association, SARDFA, and the Alaska Shellfish Growers Association, ASGA, and the department have negotiated an agreement that would allow these farmers to harvest insignificant populations of standing stocks of goey ducks. In order to be implemented, this agreement would require a change in statute. Section 1 of HB 198 amends the Aquatic Farming Act to allow shellfish farmers to own, harvest, and sell insignificant populations of wild shellfish stocks on their aquatic farm sites. In February 2005, the Department of Fish and Game announced that they would conduct a commercial dive fishery on the designated mariculture sites to remove the commercially significant populations of wild goey ducks from these areas. This fishery will be open to all commercial divers in Southeast Alaska, and Section 2 of HB 198 makes it clear that the aquatic farmers do not have to replace the shellfish that are harvested in this common property fishery. Section 3 gives the department the authority, when it determines it would be beneficial to do so, to let the shellfish farmers remove all but an insignificant population of wild stock from their sites themselves and give the proceeds of their sale to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. Section 4 codifies the requirement that proposed farm sites can only get permits if there is an insignificant population of shellfish species to be cultured there, and Section 7 says that this section applies only to permits issued after July 1, 2005. This legislation is a product of industry members and the administration working together on a compromise. It will help ensure the future of this new fishery in Southeast Alaska for years to come. Thank you.
Questions?
I have a question, Mr. Chairman. How do we define insignificant?
It's through the chair, Representative Capsner. If you look in the packet, there was an agreement that was drawn up between SARDFA and ASGA, the two organizations. And in the state Supreme Court, that was a topic of debate, to say the least. And SARDFA and ASGA have agreed insignificant, a good figure for being insignificant would be about 12,000 pounds.
Okay. Thank you.
Any more questions? If not, we'll have Paul Foos testify next.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'll be brief. We do support the legislation. Paul Foos, representing PAC Alaska. Steve LaCrosse is with me. Steve is one of the pioneers that set up the commercial dive fishery and holds several farm sites right now. And we've been battling this out for, well, I've been working on it 3 years, Steve for 6 years, back and forth, saying we needed legislation or we didn't or we do it in regs. But we agree that this legislation would help resolve these issues, and we would just ask you that you would clarify with the department when they come up here just a couple issues to make sure that we get it on the record and that we understand what they mean. And one of them would be, do they agree that the 12,000 figure is a significant amount? The other one would be on page 2, line 14, and what it talks about there, you'll read it, it's kind of difficult to understand that section. We just want to make sure that the department doesn't read that as saying that this would authorize them to come in and hold a commercial fishery on top of a farm site that had already been planted. I mean, that just makes no common sense if that would be allowed to happen. We just want to make sure that is clarified.
And that's on line?
Page 2, starting on line 14. And if he finds that an insignificant population would benefit the public, or that exceeds an insignificant population, and that removal of stock by a person other than the permit he would unreasonably interfere with the farm, then he can allow him to take it. And what the issue there is that after all this, they hold a depletion fishery on it, and, you know, they do all their surveys. If there just happens to be more than 12,000 pounds is an honest mistake, then what are you going to do? And we want to make sure, you know, this says that they could charge a tax on it, and we're fine with that tax if it goes over 12,000. What we don't want is to say that could come in and allow them to come and dig through all the planted gooey ducks to try to hold a commercial fishery on the site. And you can see where that would be impractical to do that. And if the department would put that on the record, that this language does not mean that they could hold a commercial fishery on the site after it's been planted, then we'd be satisfied with this language. The last thing that we'd ask you to clarify with them is if you go to page 3, line 5, that the proposed site may not include more than an insignificant amount of wild stock. We want to make sure that they clarify that that means on the site, not in the general area. Because if it's in the general area, there's no way that you could actually determine it. And their current proposed regulation said there'd be nine transects, of which two would be on the site. Well, it shouldn't be the general area. It should be on the farm site. And if they would clarify that they mean on the farm site, 12,000 pounds, then we're fine. And I think Joss was right, and we thank, you know, Representative Elkin for, you know, working on this compromise. And if the department would just clarify that, and, you know, I think it's good for us, after 3 years of going back and forth with the department on this, it's also good for the department because they've been the monkey in the middle on this thing, too, and I would hope that they would want this clarified also.
Representative Capser.
Besides getting the department on the record, would you like this language cleared up?
Well, I don't know. I think it's what the chairman said was that if anything's going to be done, it's going to be done in this committee and mm-hmm. not move it on. And we would go along with that, but we'd also like to see the bill move. And it depends if the department would state their intent that that's what it means, that would probably be good enough for us and let the bill go as it is. Do you agree with that, Steve?
Yes. I mean, the language says on the farm site.
Okay.
But we've had the proposed regulation says something different. Mm-hmm. So as long as it's clear that we're going by the guidance of the statute, then we shouldn't have a problem. But, you know, we need them to say that.
Well, we'll see. Here, Representative Wilson.
Well, it already says twice in that sentence, the proposed farm site may not include more than a significant population of a wild stock of a shellfish species intended to be cultured on the site. So it already says site mm-hmm. twice in that sentence.
We agree, but we've had experiences very similar to this before where
they don't.
They didn't see it that way. Mm-hmm. So we're just making sure we're a little gun shy.
In plain English, yeah.
I mean, I don't have a problem with adding another on the site in there if that's going to make everybody feel better. I don't have a problem with putting that there. It's obvious to me that it's on the site.
Put it in bold.
If is that a,
you know, an amendment.
And state, you know, for the record.
Okay. I move an amendment number 1 on line 6, page 2, behind the word stock. Add the words on the site, comma. Yeah. And that's it.
Of a shellfish species.
We support that amendment.
Did you get that over the, as long as she gets it, you got it? Okay. Any objection to the amendment?
And so now it'll read, the proposed farm site may not include more than an insignificant population of a wild stock on the site of a shellfish species intended to be cultured on the site.
What page is that on, Peggy?
Page 2. It's page 3, I'm sorry.
Page 3. What's the difference?
Line 6.
On page 3. Proposed farm site.
You repeat your amendment?
The amendment would be on page 3, line 6, after the word stock, it would be insert, comma, on the site, comma. I mean, it's rather redundant, but if they've had problems in the past.
No objections to the amendment, Will.
You know, I don't even, Mr. Chairman, I don't know if that's grammatically correct to add it twice in one sentence.
You mean because we say the proposed farm site may not?
Yeah, I think it just makes the sentence awkward, but, and I think as long as it's in there once.
It's in, it's on there twice already.
Yeah.
And then on the site at the end.
Objecting for?
I'm just objecting, friendly objection.
Yeah, I mean, we just need to discuss it now.
Right.
We've got an objection up now to discuss it.
Because it is in there twice, as long as we're on the record of understanding what we're saying, so. But we'll get the department too to, on your issues there.
Thank you.
You want to keep that in there or you want to withdraw it?
Now, let's look at this because it might be better to put it there instead of at the end. So that it would say, insignificant population of a wild stock on the site of a selfish species intended to be cultured.
And drop on the site in the end?
Yeah.
That makes better, yeah.
Okay, then I would amend the amendment to say, to and also on line 7 on page 3, drop on the
site. Delete, okay.
Delete on the site, the end.
And I'll withdraw my objection.
So no objections to the amendment. The amendment will pass.
So I'm going to object just for purposes of discussion here. So, Peggy, what's the purpose of your amendment?
Okay, it's just to clarify it better because it's a little awkward, the sentence was. And so now the sentence will say, the proposed farm site may not include more than an insignificant population of a wild stock on the site of a shellfish species intended to be cultured.
So what you're trying to say is if you got a large amount of wild stock of fish, they can't do a farm, a shellfish farm in that area.
Well, and that's one reason why they're going in and harvest them now, so that before everybody gets started with all this, that once they do that, they can harvest the wild, and then they're going to plant now.
Okay.
No more objections. The amendment will pass. Okay, thank you, Mr. Cruz. Julie Decker, are you online?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good morning. Julie Decker. I'm the executive director of SARDFA, the Dive Fisheries Association. I submitted a letter to the committee, and I just wanted to make sure everyone kind of summarize what the letter says. SARDFA does support this bill and Representative Wilson's amendment to the bill that follows the original agreement that the Shellfish Growers Association and ourselves committed to last spring. And if there's no further amendments, we are satisfied with the bill as is.
Okay, thank you. Any questions, Julie? Hearing none. We go to, John Maloof?
Yeah, John Maloof. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Yeah, my name is John Maloof. I'm the president of SARDFA and commercial Geoduk fishery. I live in Ketchikan, Alaska here. And I'd also like to say that I support Julie's letter that we sent out through SARDFA and we support the bill as is, as long as there's no more amendments to it. And, we'd like to say this is coming a long ways to finally come to a compromise with the farmers here. I think this bill is in good intentions to spread the wild stocks between the fisheries and leave some insignificant stocks, for the for the farmers there, and that I think this as the bill is now, that it's it makes sure that there is no net proceeds for the farmers. I think if this bill was amended to have any kind of net proceeds put into the farmers' pockets, that at that point I don't think SARS would support it. So I would say we support it as is, and that's pretty much all I have to say about it then. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Questions? Just for your information, before, I don't know if you heard us, but we're hoping that this bill will leave here and not be amended. We have the speaker here. We're going to ask if they do amend it, because we want to make sure we did a good job, that we'll bring it back here. And
back to this, you want to take care of that? You ready to move the bill?
No, I did hear that from the beginning, yeah.
Okay, thank you. David Bedford, are you online?
Yes, I am online.
Okay, you heard some of the concerns from Mr. Frew, so hopefully you'll address them online here for us and then and give you a testimony, and I know you're with the department, but for the record.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, members of the House Special Committee, my name is David Bedford. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to House Bill 198, and I want to thank Representative Elkins for introducing this. The department strongly supports this legislation. The mariculture industry has great promise. However, it's been stymied over the past several years, both by inattention under the prior administration and by an ongoing string of litigation over what sorts of rights or opportunities farmers ought to have to harvest common property resource. The legislation that you have in front of you is designed to remove some of these barriers. In particular, the Superior Court in the state of Alaska ruled that we are obligated to provide access for farmers to insignificant stocks of common property geoducks. The Supreme Court, however, said that the statute prevents us from so doing. So this legislation would then give us that authority. Farm sites fall into two basic general classes at this point. First off, we have farm sites in which there's been no substantial farming activity. At present, and Section 1 of the legislation that you have in front of you would put us in a position where we could authorize farmers to take possession of insignificant stocks of geoducks for purposes of sale. However, at this particular point on farm sites that have no substantial activity on those sites, we're conducting fisheries in order to make sure that the remaining stock of geoducks on those sites is an insignificant amount so that we can then transfer those to the farmers and allow them to move on to the business of cultivating. The second class of farm sites are those in which there's been a significant amount of activity, and this, as a matter of fact, is one of the things that Mr. Foose raised. In Section 3, we create a new authority for the commissioner that he does not currently have, which would give the commissioner the authority to authorize a farmer to harvest significant amounts of a public resource that's on the farm site in order to facilitate the aquatic farming, provided that the farmer pays reasonable compensation to the public for the harvest of the public resource. We agree with what Mr. Foose is saying, that it's not the intent of that. We believe the plain language of that section is that it would allow the commissioner to have exclusive harvest by the farmer. It doesn't have anything to do with allowing a commercial fishery on a site. So we agree with Mr. Foose on that. The legislation also includes a couple of other elements that we think are quite important. In Section 2, it would modify the existing aquatic farming statutes to prevent what could be a manifest injustice, in our opinion. The statute as currently written would require a farmer at the end of his tenure to replace the level of wild stock that existed on the farm site at the time he received the lease. In the instances we have now where we're conducting a commercial fishery on some sites, it would require the farmer to replace the stock that was removed by the commercial fishery. We were strongly in support of Section 2 because it would prevent that outcome and then make the farmer responsible for replacing basically only what he himself had removed. Section number 5 is also quite important from our perspective because it extends to aquatic farmers the kind of confidentiality that commercial fishermen currently have for access to their personal business records. It does, however, maintain one exception to that. There's a number of exceptions in terms of how the various agencies might be able to access records for the conduct of state business. However, it does maintain one exception that would allow the public access to information on annual harvest of common property resource from a farm. Stepping back to a couple of the issues raised by Mr. Foose, first off, his question as to whether the department was in accord with 12,000 pounds being a level of significance. Yes, we are. I would note, however, that in the ongoing discussions that we've had with the Alaska Shellfish Growers Association and with SARDFA and with a number of other stakeholders, that the second element of what is significance is the density of the stock on a particular location and how close it is to an existing commercial fishery. So part of that, part of the regulatory process that we would go through would be 12,000 pounds. But it would also, if it was right next door, right on top of a commercial fishery, then the question would be, is there a dense stock as well? Are there are the goey ducks on the site then particularly available for harvest to a commercial fishery? On the question of whether 12,000 pounds would apply to a site as opposed to a general area, we're fine with that if SARDFA and ASGA are good with that.
Are you done?
I am.
Okay. Representative Wilson?
In the letter from SARDFA, they're on, I guess, on their third page, on their last page, at the bottom of the second page and then on up into the last page, it said that the most important concept to remember when discussing, I know that the rate of levy isn't in the bill. However, I would like you to say on record what the intentions are so that there's not a misunderstanding later on. Now, because these farmers have leased parcels, and sometimes, somewhere out there, I have no idea, but somewhere, I'm sure that close by a parcel would be gooey ducks where they could just move over and pick it up, I guess. And anyway, what I'm concerned about, I want to make sure that there's not any inadvertent leeway here, because we all know that it's just easy. I guess what I'm saying is that one, it says the most important concept to remember when discussing the rate of levy is that the higher rate will give less incentive to farmers to poach gooey ducks. And I just want to make sure that everybody understands what the department is going to do to make sure that doesn't happen, because we have to also protect the rights of the common good for everybody else. And so what is the department's intentions there?
Well, part of that is a problem with enforcement. If somebody is harvesting outside of an area in which they're entitled to do so, we will go through a regulatory process as soon as this legislation is enacted, so that we can put in place the kinds of regulations that are necessary to permit harvest by farmers of shellfish on their sites, and then also to monitor those harvests. And we will have a reporting requirement so that a farmer will have to report on an ongoing basis with each delivery the amount of common property resource that's being, common property, I guess, in the instance where you have a significant amount that a farmer is harvesting, and then a wild stock in a situation in which title has been transferred to the farmer for an insignificant stock. But in any event, there'll be a requirement to report on an ongoing basis what the harvest is, so we'll be able to monitor that. In terms of harvesting off of the site, again, that's an enforcement problem.
Okay, I have one question for you, for David, Chairman Thomas here. I notice there's no enforcement or penalties in here. Does the department have some that they would put in that, you know, I know commercial fisheries has the fines and penalties that are levied. Do you have the authority to put that in regs?
Mr. Chairman, we could place penalties in regulation. There are regulations, or there are penalties that are already in place, criminal penalties for taking a resource without authority to do so, but we could put in additional penalties if it was the will of the legislature.
Well, I just want to make sure that I understand that there were penalties involved, so that I'm happy there. Okay, any questions? Representative Wilson?
Okay, if you're going to have a levy on this, for then is it going to be based on the ex-vessel value, and if so, then is the rate going to be high enough to make sure that they reflect the differences between the values?
The rate that we're looking at right now, and again, we haven't settled on anything at this point, but what we're considering at this point is 50% for stocks that are sold live and 30% for stocks that are sold processed. We'll need to take some additional input during the regulatory process before we actually settle on any particular figure. And one thing that I would note on that is that we're in a situation here in which we have to assure that the public receives adequate compensation for exclusive harvest of a public resource. And so that's has to be the principal criterion that we look at when we determine the final rate is what's adequate compensation to the public for the public resource.
One more follow-up.
Representative Wilson.
I'm sorry, I know this, but I think this is important. So when you make those decisions, then I think the last paragraph is important on in that same letter, to just to make sure that it's fair for everybody and for the common good, so that the public gets their fair share.
Yeah, thank you, Representative. We certainly intend to do just that.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Representative Elkins?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm not sure, but I was just wondering on page 2, line 14, would this language allow the department to hold a commercial fishery over the planted site, farm site?
No, it would not. The authority to hold a commercial fishery is found elsewhere in the Alaska statutes. This here only allows us to do something which currently we cannot do, which is to allow one particular individual to have exclusive access to a common property resource. In this case, the farmer could be given exclusive access to a significant amount of gooey ducks that were on his farm site.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Hearing now, we'll go to Bob Hartley. You've got couple of minutes, so we're going to lose members here. Otherwise, we'll have to hold the bill. So, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm Bob Hartley, president of ASGA. Just briefly, I'd like to speak in favor of HB 198, and I'd like to thank Representative Elkins for sponsoring the bill. This is a much-needed clarification and resolution of issues that have been a real thorn in the side of aquatic farming for longer than I care to remember. And I think this will be a good step for clarification of these issues. The only thing that I ask is that we have a clarification of the 12,000 pounds, making sure that it is on the farm site, and that the harvest of significant animals after the public harvest and the levy of a tax, I guess, is the best way to put on that, that we look at the amount of that tax. I don't think it should exceed the 30%. The 50% seems to be quite a bit, and whether that tax is levied on the gross or the net or the harvest is another question that we need to have clarified. So, but in general, it's a good agreement. I think it will help the dive fishery and the farming industry, and allow for the conduct of a good business in the area. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Hearing none. Will anybody else want to testify? You're slowing down the time.
real briefly,
in association.
Roger Painter, Vice President of Alaskan Shellfish Growers Association. I'm glad to hear the department clarify the 19,000 pounds being on the farm site. 12,000 pounds being on the farm
good
site.
Good try.
because under the draft regulations that have been developed, the survey would have encompassed an area that's probably 10 to 12 times the farm site, and that's where the 12,000 pounds would have been determined. So very, very pleased to hear that it will be on the farm site. Also, I just wanted to mention that one of the primary concerns that the farmers have about these commercial fisheries is getting assurances from Fish and Game that once they're completed, that they can go ahead with the farming activities without worry of subsequent commercial fisheries coming on the site. The hatchery currently is holding up to 1 million gooey duck seed. This is the first seed that's been available for farmers, and it needs to be moved out of the hatchery right away. And if there's any uncertainty, the farmers are going to be very hesitant to proceed with plantings. And then just one final comment on enforcement. There are penalties out there these days. The enforcement concerns on the aquatic farms are no different than the enforcement concerns on the commercial fisheries. They're out there in every fishery we have. We have a limited amount of enforcement capability, and unfortunately, it's a reality for every fishery or activity we have involving our fisheries resources. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll close testimony and bring the bill to the committee. Wishes of the committee or talks, discussion? Move the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I move House Bill 198 from committee with individual recommendations as amended and the fiscal note.
No objections. Bill moves. We're adjourned.